Shalom to all! In today's Afiyah Mishnah, we're going to learn Masechet Shechulin, Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav through Perek Hey Mishnah Beis. And now moving on to Mishnah of vital importance for us every single day, or at least anytime we want to eat kosher meat. How do we know what's considered a kosher animal? Says the Mishnah, Simani Behema V'chaya Neru Min HaTorah, the Simanim, the signs of a kosher domesticated animal and wild animal are said explicitly in the Torah. And we know that's any animal that has split hooves and chews its cud. However, Simani Ha'if Loi Namru, the Simanim of a kosher bird are not stated. The Torah does not say specifically the such signs on a bird means that it's kosher. Aval Amr Chameh, the Chameh said that kol oif ha-dairas, any bird which is dairas, literally we might translate dairas as trampling, but birds don't trample, so over here refers to a bird that takes its claws or its talons and picks up its food from the ground and eats it, tameh, so that bird is tameh, meaning it's not kosher. However, kol shesh le'etzbe seira, any bird that has an extra toe, or a toe which is a little bit raised up above the others, v'zefek, and has a crop, that's where the food is stored before it gets passed on further in the digestion process, v'kur kabani nikla, and its kurkabon, which is the gizzard, that's what crushes up the food after the zefek. It can be peeled away from what's holding it without needing to use a knife to cut it. Tahar, such a bird is kosher. And Rabbi Elazar Tzadokim here, he further clarifies non-kosher birds, kol oif ha-chalikas raglav, tameh. Any bird that splits its feet is tameh, which means when you put it on a string or on a branch, it takes its four talons or fingers or toes, whatever you want to call them, and splits two in the front and two in the back to hold on. That's a sign of a non-kosher bird. Now we continue discussing the signs of kosher animals. Here the Mishnah says, uvechagavim, grass. And in case you didn't know, here you are learning that grasshoppers are kosher. The accepted psak is, since we do not have Mesaira, which grasshoppers are kosher, the vast majority of us are not able to eat grasshoppers, even though it does sound like a pretty tasty, crunchy snack. There are very few select communities. Some of the Teimanim do have this Mesaira, and they actually would eat grasshoppers if they got a hold of them. But how do we know what the signs of a kosher grasshopper are? Kol sheyesh lo arba raglayim, it has to have four legs. V'arba kanafayim, four wings. And v'karsulayim, it has to have karsulayim, which is machlek is what that is. In humans, karsulayim are ankles. Over here, it's obviously not referring to ankles. So the understanding is that this is referring to these tall jumping legs. The raglayim are just regular legs that it walks with, and the karsulayim are the ones that it springs itself forward with and takes a pretty massive jump. If you've ever seen a grasshopper, you'll understand what we're talking about. And one more thing is uknafav chayfin isrubai, its wings have to cover the majority of its body. Now, Rabbi Yosef, he says, ushmai chagav, it has to be called chagav. There's actually many different names the Torah calls grasshoppers by. There's this word chagav, there's yelek, sil, Arbe, as Rabbi Yossi says, it has to be called by the name Chagav in order to be a kosher grasshopper. Lastly, says the Mishnah, but Dagim, what about fish? How do we know what a kosher fish is? Kol sheyesh lo snapir v'kaskases, it has to have a fin and a scale. That's the lashon of the pasuk. It tells us, ezet toichlu mikol asher b'mayim, this is that which you may eat from that which is in the water. Kol asher lo snapir v'kaskases, if it has a fin and a scale. It doesn't say fins and scales, it says one fin and one scale. Now Rabbi Hudaimer, he says, no, shnei kaskasin usnapir echad, it has to have two scales and one fin. Now the Mishnah just clarifies what the difference between fins and scales are, in case you didn't know. Veiluhin kaskasin, these are the scales, hakavuin bai, that's what's attached to it, whereas usnapirin, what's the fins, hapirech bahen, that's what it flies with, meaning that's what it swims through the water with, and so here you have it clear, the difference between fins and scales. Now moving on to Barak Dalid, we're going to be discussing a fascinating halacha, which is known as ben pakua. We're going to see this explicitly in Mishnah Hay, but already in order to understand Mishnah Aleph, we have to know what a ben pakua is. So most simply put, it's when animal is shechted, and then they open up the stomach, and voila, they find another animal inside the mother animal that was just shechted. It was a baby animal that wasn't born yet. That baby animal does not require shechita. Its mother was shechted, it was kosher, everything's fine. The baby animal that was found inside is 100% perfectly fine to be eaten, no shechita required, no issue. And the reason why we're saying it's a fascinating halacha is because when have you ever found that an animal doesn't require shechita? Imagine taking that baby animal out of its mother's stomach, raising it to be a nice, fine, juicy geshmat cow, and then you don't even have to shecht it. There's no problems with it. Just kill it, no problem. It's perfectly fine to eat. So that's what Mishnah Aleph tells us about. What does that mean? The animal's inside its mother's stomach and it wasn't born yet. Obviously, if it totally came out of its mother and it was fully born, it requires shechita. But perhaps there's something that happened to it that we would still consider it as if it's born, and even though we physically found it in its mother's stomach, it still would require shechita. So Mishnah tells us, behemah makasha leled, a mother animal, it's getting ready to give birth, and then the fetus, the animal, sticks at its hand, ready to come out of the mother, vechzira, and then it pulls it back into the mother. And then the mother was shechted, mutar b'achila. That animal is considered a ben pakua, no problem. It's allowed to be eaten without being shechted, because it's not considered like it was born. However, haitzias roishai, if it put its head out of its mother's womb, afal pi shechzira, even if it pulled its head back inside, maybe it decided it didn't want to be born yet, and then the mother was shechted, and then we take the animal out, hariz a kiyalot. It's like it was born already, and it requires shechita. Now here we have another interesting scenario. Chaitech me uber shev me'eha. The person cut off a piece of the fetus inside the mother's stomach. neck. He put his hand inside the animal, cut off a piece of the baby animal that was inside, and leaves that part inside the mother, and then the mother's shechted, mutar b'chila. That part's allowed to be eaten, even though on a regular animal that'd be considered eiver min achai, but it's not considered achai, because inside the mother's stomach, and it becomes permitted when the mother was shechted. However, min atchol, min akloyos, if he had cut off from the mother's spleen or kidneys and left them inside her, asr b'chila, those are asr to eat with the shechting of the animal, and that's even though they were inside of her when he shechted her. And the bottom line is, zaklal, this is the rule. Kol davar shu gufa asr, anything that's part of her actual body that was cut off and kept inside of her, it's asr after shechita. Whereas she'ene gufa, mutter, if it's not part of her, it's just a fetus, it's an animal which is inside of her, so it's mutter to be eaten once the mother shechted properly. Now, the previous mishnah, we brought up this idea, we're going to pick up discussing in a few mishnayas regarding mother animals shechted, baby animals found inside, and how it does not require shechita at all. And as part of that discussion, we said, let's say the mother was giving birth and the animal stuck out part of its body and then brought it back inside, is it still considered part of the mother or not? And so here we have this din regarding bechayra. We know that a firstborn male animal of a kosher animal is considered a bechar. It's kadosh mei rechem, meaning the moment it's born, it has its kedusha and has to be given to a kayin as a karbon. And so we have the same concept of, let's say the mother was in process of giving birth and this fetus, this baby animal, stuck part of itself outside. That's what the Mishnah tells us. Hamvakeres makasha leilid. We have some vakeres, meaning she's giving birth to her firstborn. She's having challenge. She's having difficulty giving birth. Mechatech ever ever mashach l'klavim. The person, if he wants, could cut the animal to pieces limb by limb and throw them to the dogs. Even though once the animal is born, it has kedushas bechar and has to be given to a kayin, since it hasn't been born yet, just one limb came out and he cut it off. Another limb came out and he cut it off. So he's allowed to benefit from it and he could give it to the dogs. Hariyatz rubai. Once the majority of the animal came out, harizu kaver, that has to be buried. V'niftarim mechayra, but it's potter from bechar. We continue discussing this din of a fetus or baby animal inside its mother's stomach and what its status is now in regards to tumah and tahara, because we know that an animal that dies without shechita is called a nevela and it's tameh. So the Mishnah tells us, behema shemesu bar b'soich me'al, if an animal's fetus died inside its stomach, v'hayshit the royas yadav nagabai, and the shepherd put his hand inside and touched this dead baby animal, behema behema tameh, behema behema tahara, whether or not it's a kosher or non-kosher animal, tahar, he's tahar, because since the baby's still inside the mother's stomach, even though it's dead, it's not considered nevela. However, he tells us, b'tameh, tameh, b'tahara, tahar. If it's a non-kosher animal, so then the fetus is tameh, but if it's a kosher animal, the fetus is tahar, and it's machlok is how to understand the pasuk. Now discussing the same case just in regards to a person, a woman, her baby died inside her womb, lo'elenu she had a miscarriage, and upashta chayas yadav nagabai, the midwife put her hand inside the woman and she touched this dead baby, hachayat tameh tumas sheva. The midwife is tameh 7 days, which means it's considered like she touched a regular dead person, a corpse. However, isha tahar ad she'etzi havlad, the woman herself, she's tahar until the child comes out of her, because the child is still considered part of her. An animal's having challenge giving birth, and the fetus put its hand, meaning it stuck one of its legs outside, and the person cut off that leg, and then he shechted the mother, habasar tahar, the meat is tahar. What does that mean, the meat is tahar? So we know that when a leg is cut off a regular animal, that's called eiver ben achai. Besides the fact it's not allowed to be eaten, it also is tame, it's considered nevela. Even though the animal might still be alive, the limb itself is eiver ben achai, it's a limb from a live animal, and it has dinu nevela. Now over here it's different, because since the fetus, the baby, was still inside its mother's stomach, when its leg was cut off, it doesn't have the din of Eiver Min Achai, then now it's Metame, the fetus that it came from. We assume that as it was being cut off, it touched the animal that it came from, as we're technically should be Metame it, but no, it's not Metame it, because the fetus was still inside its mother's stomach. Now let's say, Shachar Simoy V'Arachatacha, if the mother was shechted, and then the leg was cut off the fetus, Habasar Magen Nevela, Divrei Meir. Meir says, the meat, meaning the entire fetus, is considered Nevela, because now the fetus is not part of the animal. Racham argue, they say, Maga Trefa Shchuta, it's considered like it touched Trefa Shchuta. Just like we find in the previous parak in Tuprak and Go, we mentioned that if we have an animal which is a trefa, if it was shechted properly, that's metahir from the din of nevela. It doesn't transmit tumah like a nevela, even though you're not allowed to eat it because it's a trefa, it's still not nevela. So it's shechitas metahir af shechitas behema tatar so ever. So to the shechita of the mother, that's metahir the ever, this limb that was cut off, and it's not considered nevela. However, Armalahem Meir told them, that's not so, because imtiar shechitas trefa isa. If you can metahir the shechita of an actual trefa, that's davar shegufa. That's regarding its body itself. You have an animal which it itself is a trefa and you shecht it, so now that takes it out of the din of nevela. But the tyrus aver davar she'enoy gufa, are you going to metahir this aver, this limb that was cut off of the fetus? That's not the actual body of the mother. The shechita of the mother shouldn't be metahir the body of the fetus that had the leg cut off of it. And therefore, Rav Meir disagrees with the Chum's Kal V'Chaymer. Now we discuss this din that we've been taking for granted. How do we know the shechita of a trefa is metahir it and it's not considered nevela? Actually, we should say the opposite. The same way the non-kosher animal is not allowed to be eaten, a trefa is also not allowed to be eaten, and therefore we should say that just like a non-kosher animal, shechita is not metaharit, just because you shechted a horse, that doesn't make it not nevela, af treifa lo taharin shechitasa. So too, a treifa, shechita shouldn't be metaharit, it should still be considered nevela. Says the Mishnah, loy, that's not so, it's different, because in Marta Behema Tmeya, if you want to say this by non-kosher animal, the reason why shechita doesn't take away its din of nevela, that's shaloy haisa lo shasa kosher. It never had a time that it was kosher, that it was proper, that it was fitting to be able to be eaten, because a non-kosher animal is never allowed to be eaten. Timer betreifa, but you can say the same applies by treifa, shahaisa lo shasa kosher. It had a time that it was able to be eaten. Before it developed this health issue, this problem that made it a treifa, it was actually perfectly fine, and therefore shechita is metaharet. Ask the Mishnah, toil lecha mashe vesa, why don't you take that which you just brought, meaning the logic that you just used can be used against you, because arisha nol de treifa min abata minayin. How do you know that if it was born as a treifa, it was born with a defect that made it a treifa, how do you know that shechita is metaharet from nevela? Maybe it shouldn't be. The Gemara says, loy, that's not so, because emarta behema tameya, everyone says this then applies to a non-kosher animal. The shechita is not metaharet and still considered nevela, that's shekein ein b'mina shechita. It doesn't even have anything of its type which could be shechted. There is no non-kosher animal that if it's shechted, you're allowed to eat it. But tamer b'treifa, are you going to say the same applies to a treifa? Even if it was born as a treifa, sheyesh b'mina shechita, its type does have shechita that's allowed, even though this particular animal that we're talking about was born as a treifa. So it was never permitted to be eaten, but its type, its species, cattle and flock, sheep, goats, cows, bulls, whatever it is, as a general rule, they are allowed to be eaten. So for this one, even though it was born with a defect that made it a treifa, shechita is metaharet. Says the Mishnah, if that's true, ben shmoyna chai, an 8-month-old baby that's alive, we know that by large animals, they have a 9-month pregnancy, and Chazal say that if they give birth after 8 months, even though we see that the animal is alive, it's not considered a ben kayama, it's considered like it's halachically dead. So in such a case, ain shechita is metaharasai, its shechita is not metaharet, lefisha ain b'mina shechita, because it doesn't have anything in its category which is allowed by shechita, because no animals that are born after 8 months are considered alive halachically, and shechita is not metar any of them, therefore they would all be considered nevela. And moving on to Mishnah Hay, going back to the din that we started out the parak with, namely when a mother animal is shechted and a baby animal is found inside, how it does not require shechita. So here we get to some details. Hashem chazav hema, someone shechted an animal, umatza ba ben shmoyna chai oy meis oy ben tisha meis, and a fetus was found inside. What was it? It was either an 8-month-old fetus that was alive or dead, or it was a 9-month-old fetus, but it was dead. In all these situations, no problem. The shechita, the mother, permits this fetus that was found inside, and kairoi umatzias damai. All that has to be done is that this baby animal is torn open, the blood has to be drained, because we're still not allowed to eat blood, but besides for that, the fetus does not require shechita, it just could be cut up, no problem, and it's allowed to be eaten, you could put in your chalent. Now here we have machlokes, matza ben tisha chai. Let's say it was a 9-month-old baby, and it was alive, so ton shechita, it does require shechita, that's because according to this Tana, whom we're going to see in a moment as Reb Meir, he holds that it's not considered part of the mother. So the shechita of the mother has nothing to do with this baby, therefore it requires shechita. And v'chayiv ba'oseh ba'oseh b'noi, it also has this din of oseh es b'noi. Divrei Meir, Reb Meir's opinion, oseh es b'noi is a din in the Torah that tells us that we're not allowed to shech the mother and the child on the same day. So the mother was shechted, and then we find this baby, we can't shech that on the same day because considered like two separate animals. Whereas the Chamer and the Chamer say that no, shechitas imem tarasoi, the shechita of the mother is metaret since it was found inside the mother when the mother was shechted. This baby animal does not need to be shechted. Now, Reb Shimon Shazuri even adds on to this. Afil ben shmoyna shanim v'charish basada. Even if this animal that was found inside its mother wasn't killed right away, they raised it on the farm. It's 8 years old. It's plowing in the field, so it looks like a regular animal for all intents and purposes. Shechitas imutarasoi. The shechita of its mother was metaret, and all that has to be done is that its blood has to be drained. So there's no din of shechita. Nothing has to be done. You could just kill it whichever which way, drain the blood, and it could be eaten, no problem. Here's one more din. Kura'a umatzo ben tisha chai. If the mother was torn open, meaning the mother was not shechted, and when they opened her up, they found that she had a 9-month-old baby that was alive, the ton shechita, that baby does require shechita, l'fishal en shechita imai, because the mother was never shechted, and so it doesn't have this din applied to it. And here we take a little bit of a pause and go back to discussing the halachas of a treifa. The Mishnah tells us, behem shechtu agleha, an animal that its leg got cut off, min arkuvu lamata, from the arkuva, which is a lower joint of sorts in the back leg, from there and below, k'sher, it's kosher, it's not considered a treifa. However, min arkuvu lamala, psula, if it's cut off from his joint and above, it's possible, it can't live, it's considered a treifa. And mechen shenitol tzoymes hagidin, if the tzoymes hagidin was removed also, what's tzoymes hagidin? So it's literally translated as the junction of the gidin, which is sinews, and actually this is a great translation even for modern Hebrew, because a junction, as in where multiple roads meet up, is called a tzomet, as in tzomet bar ilan, the junction of bar ilan street. And we have many tzomets around Eretz Yisrael, anytime we have a big junction, and so it's the same thing over here, there are three sinews in the back leg, and they all meet up at this point, so if that was removed, if that was cut off of the animal, it can't live, it's a treifa. Now we go back to our first case, where the leg leg was cut by the lower joint. In this next case, we're not talking about where the leg was totally cut off. Nishbar ha'etzem, the bone was simply broken, and then afterwards the animal was shechted. So the question is, what about that part of the leg where the bone was broken? Is it considered part of the animal and now it's been matur by shechita, so it could be eaten? Or maybe it's considered like its own separate limb and it's not really considered halachically attached to the animal, and then it would be eivor min ha'chai and it wouldn't be allowed to be eaten and actually would be tamei. That's what the Mishnah says. Im reif habasar kayom, if the majority of the flesh, the meat, is still on it, shechitas mitarasoi, the shechita is mitarit. V'mlav, if not, in shechitas mitarasoi, the shechita is not mitarit. And the Rav goes into very detailed explanation what that means. Reif habasar kayom, just imagine a cross section of the bone looking like a triangle, so the bottom of a triangle is wider than the top of it, and so he requires the majority of the width of the bone, which would be the bottom of the triangle, to be covered over by flesh, and also the majority of the bone itself to be covered by flesh, and then shechitas mitarit, which again means that that broken leg is allowed to be eaten and it's part of the animal. If not, it's not allowed to be eaten because it's not considered part of the animal and actually it's nevelah. Moving on to Mishnah Zayin, now continue our discussion of something that's inside an animal and whether it becomes matered by the shechita. So Mishnah says, Hashechet sabahema umatzu bashilya, if someone shechts some other animal and finds a shilya, which is translated as an amniotic sac, some will translate as the placenta, that's basically the piece of skin that the baby animal is formed in and lives in. So he shechts the animal and all he finds is a shilya. Nefesh hayafa toichlena, a nefesh yafa, which is a nice way of saying a person who's not grossed out and not squeamish, so he could eat it. It's perfectly fine to eat. It was matered by the shechita of the mother. And the reason why a person has to be a nefesh hayafa is because this is fairly repulsive. It's just a large piece of flabby skin found inside the mother, and that's why you have to be not the squeamish type and not grossed out easily. However, ve'ena matam loy tomas oichlin v'loy tomas nevela. It doesn't become tame with tomas oichlin or nevela, meaning if something tame touches it, it doesn't become tame because it's not considered food. And also, if the mother was not shechted properly, this piece of skin, this shilya, is not tame because of nevela, because it's not considered meat. However, chishev alav, if he thought about it, you know what, now I'm going to eat it, then matam with tomas oichlin, it could become tame with tomas oichlin because now it's considered food, avoloy tomas nevelas, but it doesn't become tame as nevela because, again, it's not considered meat. Now, we continue to discuss this shilya. The mother animal is alive, it's in the process of giving birth, and shilya shiatsu miktsasa, a shilya that partially came out of the mother while was in the process of giving birth, we didn't actually see a baby animal inside this shilya, and then the mother was shechted, asura b'achila, that shilya is not allowed to be eaten. Why is that? Because simen v'lad b'ishav is simen v'lad b'behema. Anytime we have a shilya in a woman or an animal, that's a sign that there was actually a child there, there was a fetus there, and what's our suspicion? That this v'lad, this child, this baby animal, died in the mother's womb, dissolved into the shilya, but still, there's the head of the animal there, we don't see it, but it was there, and when the shilya partially came out of the mother animal, the head of this dissolved fetus also came out. It's like the mother already gave birth to it, and as we learned previously in the beginning of the parak, if the head of the animal came out and then went back in, it's considered like it was born and it's not part of the animal. We have another thing regarding this. Hamavakeres shepila shilya. It was a mavakeres, a female animal that's having her firstborn, and we know that if it's a regular baby animal born, which is a male, it's a zachar, so that's kedushas bachar, and it has to be given to a kayin. But what happened? She was mapil the shilya. She miscarried, and just the shilya came out, and there was no baby there. Yashlichenu l'klavim, it could be thrown to the dogs. Now the chiddush over here is that even though, as we just said, a shilya for sure has a child in it, even though it was dissolved, there's definitely the head there, and so it means that it's like something was born from this animal. The reason why it's allowed to be given to dogs and we can benefit from that, it's not considered kachim, is because we have a double safek. First of all, it's very possible that this shilya had a female animal in it, which doesn't have kedushas bachar. And even if you want to say it had a male, there's a slight possibility, it's minority case, but there still is this possibility, a small percentage, that it would have been deformed to the point that it wouldn't have been considered bachar. So there's actually more leaning towards that whatever would have been born from this animal would not have kedushas bachar. That's why we could take this shilya and give it to the dogs and benefit from it. However, if this animal was kodesh, it was designated as a karbon, and it was mapil shilya to cover, so then it has to be buried, and we can't benefit from it. Now, it's not to be buried at crossroads and no hanging it from a tree. Why not? Because this is the way that the Amiri used to do it. And there's multiple things that we find that are also because of Darkei Amiri. This is the way that Amiri used to do it. It's either because of superstition or for something else, and we're not allowed to do things that they used to do, and therefore we can't bury it at the Parshas Drachim or hang it from a tree. And these two Mishnahs are going to be learning of a new din called Oisoi Ve'esbenoi. And this is a beferish pasuk in the Torah that tells us, Vishar Oiseh, Oisoi Ve'esbenoi, Lois Ishchatu B'yoyim Echad, a shar or a set, a bull or a sheep, don't shech it and its son on the same exact day. This is the Isser, to shech the mother animal and either its son or daughter on the same exact day. Once the mother is shechted or the child is shechted, no shechting the other one. And that's what the Mishnah tells us, Oisoi Ve'esbenoi, this Isser of Oisoi Ve'esbenoi, Noig Bein Barz Ben B'chutz La'aretz, it's relevant both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, B'fnei Abayis or Shalai B'fnei Abayis, whether we have Beis HaMikdash or even when there's no Abes HaMikdash, B'chulin Uv Mikdashin, with both chulin, just regular animals, and with animals that are Kodesh. And the Mishnah says, Ketzad, how is this? And now in this Mishnah next, we're going to have 12 different scenarios, basically every permutation possible of Oisav Es B'nai. So let's just get a few ground rules clear before we continue, and that way we won't get confused with all these cases. Which is regular chulin, the Isra of Oisav Es B'nai tells us that no shechting mother and child, if both of them were shechted on the same day. It doesn't make a difference if the same person shechted them or two different people shechted them. Whoever shechted the second one, he gets malchus for being over Oisav Es B'nai. However, it's allowed to be eaten. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, another din we have to get clear is that there's an Isra of Shechitas Chutz. If we have an animal designated as a carbon, it's not allowed to be shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Azara, really. And if it is shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash and it was a viable carbon, it was able to be brought, so a person's going to be chayv karis for shechting it outside, and he's also going to get malchus on top of that. Now, one last din is the Isra of shechting chulin ba'azara. You're not allowed to take a regular chulin animal and shecht it inside the Azara. Now, if that's done, one does not receive malchus for it. However, the animal is still not allowed to be eaten. So now we discuss 12 cases. Case number one, shechet Oisav Es B'nai, one shechet Oisav Es B'nai, chulin ba'chutz. Both of them are chulin animals and outside the Beis HaMikdash, shneim ksherin, both of them are kosher to be eaten, as we had said, v'sheni yusef ikzar abayim, only the second one gets malchus because he was over Oisav Es B'nai. Second case, kadshim ba'chutz. Let's say both animals were kadshim and they were shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. Harishon chayv kares. The first one is chayv kares because he was over shchutei chutz. U'shneihem psulin. Both animals are pasul because they were both designated as karbanos and they were shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. And u'shneihem sefkin is arbayim. Both of them get 40 malchus. The first one gets malchus, as we had said, because he shechted an animal outside the Azara, and that comes along with kares and malchus. And the second one gets malchus for Oisav Es B'nai. And the reason why the second one is not chayv kares for shechting kadshim outside is because since the second animal anyway couldn't have been brought as a karbon because mother was already shechted that day, the only thing he gets malchus for is Oisav Es B'nai and not for shechting outside the Azara. On the case number three, chulin bifnim, let's say both animals were chulin and they were shechted inside the Azara, shneim psulin, both of them are pasul, they can't be eaten, vasheni yusef exarbaim, and the second one gets malchus for Oisav Es B'nai. Case number four, kachim bifnim, both of them were kachim shechted inside the Azara, which is great, harisha and kasher upater, the first one's kasher and he's pater, he didn't do anything wrong, it's a fine carbon, vasheni yusef exarbaim, upasul, the second one that was shechted gets malchus because that's Oisav Es B'nai, and it's pasul, it's not allowed to be eaten because the mother was already shechted. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, continuing with these cases, here's situation number five, chulin v'kachim b'chutz. Let's say the first animal is chulin and the second animal is kachim and it was shechted outside the Azara, so Rishon kasher upater, the first one is kasher and he's pater, he didn't do anything wrong, it's a regular chulin animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, v'sheni yusef exarbaim u'pasul, the second one is going to get malchus and it's pasul, he gets malchus for Oisav Es B'nai, it's pasul to be eaten because it was designated as a carbon, it's being shechted outside, and as we had said previously, the reason why it's not going to be chayv karis for shechting it outside the Azara is because it can't be brought as a carbon anyway due to the fact that the mother was already shechted. On to case number six, kachim v'chulin b'chutz. The first animal is kachim, the second animal is chulin, and they're both shechted outside. Harisha and chayv karis upasul. The first one is chayv karis for doing that, and it's also pasul. That's because it's the first animal is being shechted outside. V'hasheni kasher. The second animal is kasher to be eaten because it was chulin. Ushneim sefing is arbaim, but both of them get 40 malchus. The second one gets for Oisav Es B'nai, and the first one receives malchus because he's chayv karis, and as we said, karis comes along with malchus. On to case number seven, chulin v'kachim b'fenim. If the first one was chulin, the second one was kachim, and that was shechted inside the Azara. Shneim psulin, both of them are pasul to be eaten. V'hasheni sefing is arbaim. Only the second one gets malchus because he was over Oisav Es B'nai. As we had said, chulin in the Azara is not going to be chayv a person malchus. On to case number eight, kachim v'chulin b'fenim. The first one was kachim, the second one was chulin, and that was shechted inside the Azara. Harishon kasher pater. The first one is kasher and pater. He didn't do anything wrong. This is fantastic. It's a regular kachim animal shechted in the Azara. V'hasheni sefing is arbaim u'pasul. And the second animal, which is chulin, the person is going to get malchus because of Oisav Es B'nai, and it's pasul because again it's chulin ba'azara. On to case number nine, chulin b'chutz u'befenim. Both animals are chulin. First one was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, second shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash. Harishon kasher upater. The first one's kasher and pater. There's nothing wrong. He shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. There's no issue. You're allowed to eat it. V'hasheni yusef exarbaim u'pasul. And the second one gets malchus for Oisav Es B'nai, and it's pasul because it was chulin inside the Azara. On to case number 10, kachim b'chutz u'befenim. Both animals were kachim. The first one was shechted outside the Azara, second shechted inside the Azara. Harishon chayv kares. The first one's going to be chayv kares for shechting kachim outside the Azara. U'shneim psulin. Both animals are pasul. U'shneim sefkin zarbaim. Both of them get malchus. The first one gets malchus because he's chayv kares, so he gets malchus. And the second one gets malchus for Oisav Es B'nai. Case number 11, chulin b'fenim u'bachutz. Both animals were chulin. The first one was shechted in the Azara, the second shechted outside of it. Harisha and pasul u'pater. The first one is pasul, but he's pater from malchus. It's pasul because it's chulin in the Azara, but he's pater from malchus because, as we said, this doesn't come along with malchus. V'asheni yusef exarbaim v'kasher. The second one, which is shechted outside the Azara, gets malchus for that for Oisav Es B'nai, but it's still kasher to be eaten because it's outside the Azara and it's a regular chulin animal. And on to the last case, number 12, kachim b'fenim u'bachutz. Both animals were kachim. The first one was shechted inside. The second was shechted outside. Harishan kashru potter. The first one was kashru and potter. Obviously, he didn't do anything wrong. It's fantastic. He shechted a kachem animal inside the azara. Vashen, he said, because our rabbi will puzzle. And the second one, he's going to get malchus for, and it's puzzle. That's because it's kachem outside. So it's puzzle. He's going to get malchus for osavas benoi. And again, as we said, he's not going to be chayav kares because anyway, this animal couldn't have been brought as a carbon due to the fact that the mother was already shechted that day. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Gimel. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.